With that, we will open the work session on LD 493.
Thanks, Senator Baker. So the committee again had a public hearing last March on the 11th on the spill. Work session in April of last year carried over to this second session. The committee had a work session on January 12th that tabled it and decided to come back today, perhaps with some additional information.
Thank you. Representative Devin.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. As I said last week, I was headed to Vermont to participate in a environmental sciences course being taught at Middlebury College, and they has spent the last week working on ocean acidification and really focused on the final report that came out of the Maine Ocean Acidification Commission. That course is being run by Dr. Libby Jewett, who heads NOAA's National Ocean Acidification Program. And I had some wonderful conversations from her, and it was really an enjoyable course to participate in. I talked for about an hour and 15 minutes, and the interesting part was that Dr. Jewett had her students divide into two groups, and each group took a member of the Ocean Acidification Commission and played a role. So I met two people that actually played Mick Devin. And it was a lot of fun. Anyways, getting back to the bill, this particular bill came out of our final report, or the commission's final report, and the point was to establish an OA coordinating council. Over the past year and through especially in these this month of January, a group, an OA coordinating alliance has emerged and has had several ad hoc OA coordinating council meetings. There has been participation from the DEP, from coastal programs, and from DMR. In fact, she has participated. I attended all of them. This group, through funding that they have gotten through NGOs and potential funding through Dr. Jewett's office at the national level, believe that they have the wherewithal to meet. They plan to meet quarterly, annually. Presently, I think there is certainly a commitment from DMR. I think that DEP is also committed to participating. I'm not positive about coastal programs. Is there a commitment from them as well? So there is a commitment from the three state agencies which are impacted by ocean acidification. And consequently, I think that this particular bill has accomplished what it's needed. Having said that, the stakeholders that are involved and myself, they have asked me to ask you, and I fully agree, that we support a letter that goes to this OA Coordinating Alliance supporting what their efforts are, particularly in light that it is one of the six priorities identified in the Ocean Acidification Commission's final report. Additionally, there is another priority in which there is a bill associated with, and that is the Ocean Acidification Commission. One of the priorities, and it's the first of the priorities listed, is that Maine needs to establish a monitoring program. If we don't know what's happening with ocean acidification out there, we can't be able to quantify it and figure out what's actually happening, then we can never mitigate it, nor can we adapt to it. There is no one that is saying that we're going to stop ocean acidification, but there are certainly ways to mitigate and adapt if we're aware of it. This bond is sponsored by Representative Wayne Perry, and I would hope that that a couple of letters could be drafted, one that would go to the Ocean Acidification Coordinating Alliance, giving our support vis-a-vis the final report of the Ocean Acidification Commission, and then a second letter going to Appropriations of our support of Representative Wayne Perry's bond to establish a monitoring program in Maine, once again, vis-a-vis the priorities that were established by the Ocean Acidification Commission's final report. That commission was voted out of the commission unanimously, and it was voted fully in support of this committee unanimously as well. And having said that, at this stage, and I would work with Mr. Nail to draft those letters, and we could discuss them as soon as next week or further down the road, whenever they're ready.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Pierce.
Thanks for doing all the homework on this, Mick. Representative Devin, do you have a copy of the OA final report that you could distribute? I think before we would entertain writing a letter, we ought to see the final report and the bullet points you refer to.
Thank you. Very good idea. And response, Representative Devin.
I believe that we all received the report previously, but that's okay if we don't have it, because there's a PDF file online, and I will email that. Actually, could you email that to all committee members, please? And then I would urge you to look to the list of the six priorities. And I think the first priority listed is the marine bond, which has been put forth by Representative Wayne Perry. And then the sixth priority is the bill that I put forward that we're discussing right now.
Thank you. Representative Alley.
Yes, Mr. McDevin. I was just wondering, do you work for the Darling Center?
Yes, I do.
Do they do any of this type of surveying and studying where they've got all this equipment out there to see that they've got set up?
Representative Devin.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Thank you very much, Representative Valley, for that question. So I work for the Darling Marine Center, which is part of the University of Maine. There are an assortment of buoys and ways to monitor the, our coastal environment, as well as the Gulf of Maine. Once you get out further into Gulf of Maine, a lot of that work is funded by the federal government through NSF, or NOAA, NIMS, various groups. And then there is some private groups that are involved in funding this instrumentation and these buoys. However, the key point is here is that there is no monitoring for ocean acidification. pH, CO2 levels, aragnites, omega, various aspects. One of the reasons is until recently we didn't realize that ocean acidification was an issue. Well, I took chemical oceanography in the late 1990s, and my professor, who sat on the Ocean Acidification Commission, Dr. Larry Mayer, said at the time that the oceans were an unlimited sink for CO2. And when I reminded Dr. Mayer of that, he said, "My gosh, I did say that. You're absolutely right, and I was wrong." And so the instrumentation that had been developed to monitor pH was extremely expensive until very recently, and consequently there wasn't much of an investment in it. So expensive equipment and not thinking it's a problem, it's silly to make an investment. Now the cost of the instrumentation has come down, and we know that CO2 is an issue, and so it's become extremely important to have a monitoring system. And the monitoring system, although we are monitoring various parameters, we are not monitoring for ocean acidification presently. We do not have the capacity to do it. Representative Perry's bond would enable us to establish that system. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're all set, Representative Allen. Senator Mearmont.
Thank you, Senator. To the ether, is there any technology in the wind and you've heard of, anything that will allow satellites to measure the different things that we would like to know without having to have equipment in the water, say? Is there anything going on like that?
Senator Miramont, I can't imagine that there would be. That doesn't make sense in terms of my understanding of the state of technology. I'm just pointing out you don't know either. Do you? I highly doubt it. And I'm almost positive there isn't, because if there was, we had this commission that met 8 times, and I regularly am in communication with Dr. Joe Salisbury, who lives in South Portland and is on the faculty at UNH, and is one of the world's authorities on the development of OA-related instrumentation. And he has never talked about being able to monitor for OA using satellites. And I can ask him, and in fact, I will ask him, and the next time we discuss this, I'll have his answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional questions, comments? Yes, sir, Representative Sawicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Devin, you're talking about testing and data and all this. You mentioned in one of your responses just a second ago, you said CO2 is a problem. And CO2 collecting in the ocean and sinking. What is the evidence for the CO2 being a problem? Is that data that you've collected or we've collected locally?
Representative Devin, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you very much, Representative Sawicki. So when I talk about CO2 being an issue, I'm only focused on ocean acidification. There is evidence throughout the world in which the pH of the ocean is decreasing. It's had a 30% decrease in the last 50 years. It's something that didn't really come to anyone's attention until really the shellfish industry off the coast or along the coast of the state of Washington was hit really hard. In 1 year, they lost their hatcheries. They lost all the larvae in their hatcheries due to acidification. And the acidification is a very, very complex issue, but one of the primary driving factors is the increased CO2 entering the ocean, and that's been measured in many places around the world. And so the impacts of CO2 in the rest of our world, I'm not commenting on here. I'm not here to talk about that. But we can very precisely point to data that shows that pH in the oceans have dropped, and then we can look at studies and show, particularly with mollusks, how the ocean is being affected biologically. And these organisms are of strong economic importance and vital economic importance to our coastline, and that's why in the 126 this OA commission was established.
Follow-up, sir?
Follow-up question. Yeah, thank you, Representative Devin. You answered one of my second questions, which was, we have measurement devices to measure pH, and I think you mentioned some observable impacts on plant and animal life in the oceans. Are we seeing that in Maine? Do we have evidence? What are we seeing happening in the Gulf of Maine to, the fisheries or the plant life?
Representative Devin.
Thank you very much. So we have direct evidence from Bill Mook and his hatchery, Mook Sea Farm, that they have been impacted in their hatcheries by decreased pH. And they are working with Dr. Joe Salisbury in establishing instrumentation that will help them with the operation of their hatchery. So there's an example where we know that we've had trouble with decreased pH already. There are problems with our clam flats all along the coast. Those clam flats are very complex systems, and there are probably factors that include temperature. There are factors that include probably include the impacts of green crabs and the milky ribbon worm in terms of predation. And then there is also evidence that there is decreased pH, and that is very likely having an impact on these flats. Without the instrumentation and without the monitoring, we're not going to be able to tease out whether is it 90% acidification? Is it 10%? Do we need to focus our dollars in the future on mitigation and adaption by addressing milky ribbon worms as opposed to green crabs? Or is it that we need to add crushed shell? Without a monitoring system, we cannot make these policy decisions in the future. And I think that we can get some very informed scientists in here, as well as fishermen and aquaculturists that will can tell us, and this happened in this commission already, but we can get these people back if necessary, that will tell us, yes, we're being impacted, our fisheries are being impacted, and when our fisheries are being impacted, that means our marine economy is being impacted. And ultimately, that can snowball into tourism and many other areas that our state depends on in terms of economic development. Thank you.
Very well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One last follow-up question, Representative. I appreciate your comments. You mentioned a 30%, was it decrease in pH? Or there's a 30% change in pH levels, which that's a huge change for any ecosystem to absorb. So, Mike, do you have any reason to believe that those recent readings, do we have different types of testing happening in the past 2 or 3 years than we had years ago? You know, years ago we had analog thermometers, right? Now we have digital thermometers. Do you have any reason to believe that better measuring devices are giving us more accurate information and that pH has actually been flat and we've just changed the way we've measured it? Or can we rule that out?
Good question. Representative Devin.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Representative Swicky, one of the first things that we had this year was a report from the Ocean Acidification Commission, and I think that that Dr. Meredith White talked about the change in pH that we've experienced over, you know, the last 50 years. And in fact, this has really been a problem that's started back in 1850 it coincides with the start of the Industrial Revolution. There is nowhere that anyone has demonstrated or stated that the decrease or the change in pH can be attributed to data collection or improved instrumentation or improved monitoring around the world or improved analysis. I think it's generally accepted that pH has changed, just like it's generally accepted in Casco Bay that sea level has risen steadily. There's a century's worth of data that has demonstrated that. So there are changes out there that can be demonstrated to not be statistical anomalies.
Thank you. Are you all set, Representative Sawicki? Okay, great. Representative Pierce.
Thank you, Senator Baker. I would like to make a motion, ought not to pass, for the following reasons. You can kill it. I had a list of let me back up. I will withdraw my motion because the good representative decides he'd like to do it. I'd just like to state that the Maine OA Council, University of Southern Maine Aquatics, Atlantic States Coastal Cooperative, NOAA, GAFO, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and other federal agencies and NGOs have quite a few task force on these, and I suggest that we entertain sending letters of support that we'll look at, and I'll let Mick have the final word.
Thank you for those comments, Representative Pierce. And Representative Devin, it's yours.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And thank you very much, Representative Pierce. I fully agree with you, and that's why I think these two letters are vital. And based on the fact that we have an ocean acidification coordinating alliance that has stated they are willing to step up to the plate, A, and that, B, we presently have the commitment from DMR and DEP to voluntarily participate, and we're fairly certain that we have coastal programs volunteering to support. I would move this bill ought to be LD 493 ought not to pass.
Thank you very much. It has been moved by Representative Devin and
seconded by Representative Pierce.
Seconded by Representative Pierce that LD 493 not pass. The motion is ought not to pass. Are we ready for the vote? All those in favor of the motion ought not to pass, please raise your hand. That is unanimous.